morning, everyone. This is, you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. So here at Power Talk AM 1360. Good morning, Claudine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Swimming.
Swimming again, eh?
Swimming again. It's another Saturday.
It was actually an interesting drive this morning. And how was your drive?
Mine was great, but mine's not nearly as far as yours.
That's true. So what's happening? So if you're tuned into the show, we actually are passionate about helping businesses be profitable and sustainable. And if that is the theme, and you know what? We promise to give you actionable stuff that we're not just, you know, conceptually talking about running a business, you know, or academically. Actually doing, we're practitioners. We're running these businesses ourselves, and we're giving you stuff that you need to. So today we have a great show.
Are you excited? It's going to be fantastic. No, this is a really, really good subject.
So what are we talking about today?
Digital marketing. And it's such, it's an incredible subject because so many people who are in business are various age groups. And it's, the younger generation is really on top of this stuff. And then there's others of us who know about it, but don't really know it.
Yeah, so we're talking about that. I mean, before we get into that, I'd like to kind of do a quick recap. Yeah. I mean, last show was heavy. Last week, we got some great feedback.
And it was good.
Was, you know, a lot of sensitive areas. You know, we have this whole thing about social media and hiring. And honestly, it's changing. I'm so grateful that you're in the show and you know this stuff.
Well, and we'll be circling back around on that subject, I'm sure. It's just a huge subject, and you can't quite tackle it all in the hour time that we have. But if anybody picked up anything or if it sparked any questions in your mind, what we discussed last week, please give us a call.
Where? Where do we call you?
My office, the Sharon Law Firm, at 209-427-2200.
Good
or
job.
You can reach us through the website at sharon-law.com, and that's sharon-law.com.
Man, that comes so naturally for you now. You're right. A pro. You're a seasoned pro.
You got to throw it out there.
As we're learning.
That's right.
So, and my side is, it's like the yin and the yang. You know,
yes.
You come about being sustainable and really protecting against what may never happen, but you got to be ready for it. And I'm all about helping you be profitable.
Right.
And, we have some great feedback. I'm getting some hits on social media and basically how to scale a business profitably. And if you have any questions, go to www.greenlandhq.com or call our office. 559-207-3148. So, okay, enough about that. So let's get into marketing. Man, what do we know about marketing?
Well, you know what you learn. And so for those of us who came from a different generation, we were kind of talking about this briefly before the show, that, years ago, it used to be your print marketing and you ran an ad in the newspaper or you had the yellow pages.
Right.
And maybe a billboard.
Who remember those?
They're still there. But there's a whole new world out there now, and it's an entirely different world. And the more and more business is going that direction, and a lot of it, I think, is driven by the younger generation or the generation that's really intrigued by technology, and they stay up on it. But there's a lot of people who are, busy doing their business, and, to learn that entire spectrum of digital marketing is difficult. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And you know what? I've been in business in front of, since I graduated from college 25 years ago, and I've seen this dramatic change, and there's like basically these gaps in this gaps in knowledge and this different age groups.
Yeah.
I remember working for a company, and what the marketing department would do is they would show up to events. We had the booth.
Yeah.
We'll ship that out to the site, and we'll meet people. We mail them letters, right? That
direct
letter
mail.
Turned into email.
Yep.
First, direct mail hasn't really gone away. It's just changed, right? And then it was this whole email. And then it became social media. And then now is, a lot of the things have become commoditized.
Right.
And I think from where I usually go is, like, if you're going to spend money on something, you need to understand metrics. And you need to know how to do it well. Because, you want to just put money into something, you have to understand. And you have to talk to people that know what they're talking about.
That's it. And it's really key to get connected with the people. And I think that's the case in all businesses. And we've talked about that even with our type of business and the services that we provide. You've got to get connected with the right people.
Because
you don't know that you you didn't until after it's done and the money's spent.
So our guest today, Dave Martin from Netra Media, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, we're going to bring him in. And he's just eager to get on the phone, I mean, to get with us right now. He's there doing push-ups right now in the studio, salivating and foaming at the mouth, talking about, getting ready to talk about marketing. But one thing he's said is marketing is broken. Wow. I don't even know what to make of that statement.
I don't either. I don't know.
Is it not thought provocative?
It is. Like, it is.
Why? Well, you know, why is marketing broken? Today we're going to be talking about that concept in length. So you will know by the end of our show if marketing is broken.
And I hope you're going to fill us in a little bit on how we relate marketing to spending for marketing.
Oh, yes.
Because those two are connected.
Right.
Because you can throw a lot of money out the window.
I see Dave kind of looking my way. Yes, absolutely. And lifetime value, you know, I think everything that we do now, you know, it and everything that we do, you know, if you're going to acquire a customer in your world, you know, a customer could be very profitable and you want a lifetime relationship.
That's right.
A mutually beneficial relationship with a client that can use your services for years to come. So what does it mean to you as an attorney? And maybe it's different than what it means to me as a CFO and as an accountant. But if you're in a restaurant, you know, what is it? What is the lifetime value? And we are going to be talking about that today with Dave. And against the cost of acquiring or the cost of acquisition for that particular client.
Right.
So I have spent dabbled a little bit into the world of VCs, and you know, you get a recurring theme in our show. I'm always talking about raising capital and the whole concept of the sharks, you know, and the shark tank, and the sharks looking at, you know, a potential an entrepreneur and says, well, great, and tell me about the lifetime value of your customer divided by it into the customer, you know, cost of acquiring a customer.
Now,
there are different names for it. You know, Dave has a CPA, as also known as you know, a CAC, you know, CAC.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm kind of interested to learn today, and I hope we get to talk about it and time allows, is the amount of time digital marketing requires. So it used to be when you put a print ad out, you worked with your advertiser, you know, whoever was running, you know, whatever magazine it was, and they come up with an ad and they give you a couple proofs and you proof it and you green light it and off it goes. Digital marketing is a completely different time spent making, you know, being on the social media, commenting, liking pages and things like that. So I'm going to be interested to see what that is now. And talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so the question is, should a company devote resources to marketing? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Oh, of course, absolutely. But then be clear on what resources they are.
Correct. And you know, I've talked to enough people that when start struggling in business, the first thing they do is cut their marketing budget.
Yes.
And then
I've
basically
done that.
I've
done this.
And it makes sense, right? But you can't do that.
Can't do it.
And it's weird. It's like it's basically you're cutting the air supply.
Yep.
Of your business and your business is, but a lot of people do that.
Yep.
Right. And because I think I need to save my business struggling, so I'm going to stop marketing. Right. So what you're really saying is I'm going to stop acquiring customers.
Right.
And I'm going to keep the ones that I have, and I'm going to cross my fingers that they don't die, and I can still have a business a year from now. And when things turn around, and then the economy turns around.
Right.
I'm going to start marketing
again.
It's
very difficult to continue to spend that money when things are slowing down.
So, you know, I'm all about that. And so we're going to be talking about the lifetime value of customers. And, you know, I guess I got a great story here that Dave is going to talk to us about Dropbox, you know, this whole phenomenon of Dropbox and really those unicorn companies.
I love Dropbox. We use it a lot.
Me too. And there's a story to tell, and, you know, Dave is going to tell. Also, Airbnb, you know, the whole thing about the company almost went out of business, and it was funded by credit cards. And they did something, and they're marketing. And I am personally interested in knowing how those two companies went, because I think the biggest concern for business owners is how to invest. And it's, I consider marketing not a spend, but an investment.
Yes.
Right? And then how is that going to, you know, help us out in today's market?
Right.
So,
And how do you compete against the giants?
Yeah, how do you compete against the giants?
I don't know. Then this is such a new world to me. That's why I'm so excited about Dave being here. It's, you know, I've talked to some people, and I know we had Harpreet on a number of weeks ago, and he's an associate in our office. But he had some good ideas on this too.
All right, so we're finishing up our first segment. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Legend of the Phoenix.
All right, welcome back. Gosh, I'm so excited. I don't know about you, but without further ado, Claudine, let's welcome our guest. Today we have on the show Dave Martin. Say hello, Dave.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, so Dave is here. Let me tell you a little bit about Dave and his impressive background. So with over 15 years of experience implementing data-driven marketing and sales tactics, Dave is routinely sought after for his ability to scale companies. Oh, my favorite topic. With growth hacking and inbound marketing protocols, Dave is obsessed with understanding what makes each organization unique and uncovering their specific obstacles to growth. As a winner of the 40 Under 40 Award, Dave holds an MBA from a top 45 business school and was featured speaker on the Google advertising on South by Southwest, the nation's largest interactive conference. Oh, yeah. Boy, do you have a resume.
Man, that's me?
That's you. Oh. Come on, baby, take
guy?
It away.
Who's that guy?
Well, you said you make something up. That sounded pretty good.
Well, Dave, we're happy to have you on the show. So, so just how you doing? What's happening? Just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, that I probably haven't covered yet.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me here. This is awesome. You guys are doing some good work here, just hearing what you're talking about. So thank you. Well, so Netra Media, what exactly is that? Well, it's my agency that I started about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And so we focused really on trying to empower small to medium-sized businesses with marketing, very simply put. Because, as Claudine was saying, it's very, very challenging right now to determine where best to put your money.
Right.
And to some companies, spending even $500 a month may be a lot. Or if it's $10,000, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're spending, you want to ensure a return.
Right.
And because there's so many options to spend money in different places, a lot of companies really kind of take a crapshoot approach and a let me cross my fingers and hope this works.
That's, right. Yes, that's
and
us.
Doesn't that suck to be a business owner and to be like, I'm
me.
I know what I do, you know, like let's right. say whatever. I make Ray-Ban sunglasses for a living. I'm really good at making these sunglasses, right. but the marketing side, I'm crossing my fingers on. It's right. just a horrible feeling. And so that's really what we help strategize with companies to make them feel empowered right. and past that, creating a lot of clients for them.
Right. That's what, you know, people like me, I know just what you're saying is, you know, we have a completely different world that we function in on a day-to-day basis, which is our job. And, you know, for people like me, I want to know, okay, how much a month and are you going to handle it all? Do I have to do something a little bit or nothing?
Yes. Confused people do what?
Nothing. Yes. Confused people do nothing. That's my
I love
my
it.
Favorite.
It's Claudine trademark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, hey, by the way, if you just got into, you know, your car and you're driving, you know, if you have a question about marketing today, we want you to call. We want to hear your questions. The studio line is 209-551-3483, 209-551-3483. Call us and we'll get your question answered. So here's the biggest question right now. Marketing is broken, is it?
Marketing is broken.
What's going
on? Yeah, you know, it's a great statement because in many ways it is when you compare to how marketing was before.
Mm-hmm.
We, as a little background, we've spent just over $19 million between Facebook and Google. So we have a little bit of experience right. on the platforms and then outside of just those two platforms. But as you were saying earlier, Claudine, about if it was 1989
mm-hmm.
and I am an attorney, let's say I'm a personal injury attorney and I'm pretty happy with the business I have, but I really want to blow it up. Well, what do? I go to the local Yellow Pages. I get 3 double truck ads, which are basically having both sides of the page
right.
in color, which probably, and then maybe the front page, which might cost $10,000 a month. But who cares if it's producing 3 to 4 clients a month? It's
right.
more than paying for itself. And that's it. Set it, forget it. Here's the ad. I designed it. It's done. Well, that's the same even with television and billboards, things like that. What's happened, though, in the last, I'd say, 15 years is that the market is really fragmented as far as how you can reach people. And so it's a double-edged sword. In some ways, it's amazing. So let's say, Leo, you are totally into British Bulldogs. You know, the big British Bulldogs with the saliva and just that.
Yeah.
You're into them. You're just so into them. Okay. But none of your friends are.
Right.
And they think, dude, why are you so into your British Bulldog? You take it everywhere you go. You go to dog parks, all that stuff. Well, then Leo hops on Facebook and finds a group of people, the British Bulldog lovers of the Central Valley.
Ah.
And the next thing you know, you're going to all these British Bulldog meetings, these meetups. And so in a sense, in some ways, with digital marketing, it's allowed you to target people much, much better. But that's also the issue, is trying to target the kinds of people you're trying to get to and as effectively as you can. Just because you target them doesn't necessarily mean they're going to reciprocate. And how much does it cost to target people so specifically?
So if I hear you correctly, then the question number one is, who am I targeting?
Right.
And the question number two is, how do I get there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a big part, because the old, we'll call it old school for this sake.
It's
but
all right.
The old school ways of doing marketing are very shotgun approach.
Right.
So let's say a billboard. Let's say Lennar Homes is doing a billboard on the 99, and it says whatever the name of a community is, starting in the low 400s or whatever. If you ask the owner of Lennar, hey, you're paying $1,000 a month for that billboard, how much money is that billboard making you?
I have no idea.
He's going to be like, I don't know.
Right.
It's pure brand awareness. And so that's the issue, is that that's not necessarily a bad thing if roughly 50% or more of people driving by are a potential customer. But let's say you're selling business insurance or something a little more specific.
Yeah.
Or you're a sporting goods store. Doing a billboard is tough, because for every 10 people that drive by, maybe one might be interested. Maybe.
Yeah.
So it's a harder target. So the idea is, you try to figure out where people are and how best to target them.
So let me ask you, is there a difference in who you're reaching on the different platforms? So say Instagram or Twitter or Facebook.
Good question.
Are you, do you look at different industries and you say you're more suited for a Facebook type platform, or maybe, you know, Leo's business is more suited for, I don't know, Instagram?
Right. For example.
Well, this is where it gets really fun. All right.
For you, I hope.
Yeah. So for instance, I won't name any company, any of our client names. But we have a client that they're a solar company. Like, there's so many solar companies.
Right.
But the difference with them is they're a solar subcontractor.
Okay.
All right. So they're targeting other solar companies because they want those companies to use them when business gets too much. Hey, I'll use a sub to get it done and get it done right, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they came to us saying, hey, I want to target other solar companies. Well, you could do Google ads, which are the ads that appear when you're doing a Google search, the text-based ads.
Right.
But the hard part of that is most of those companies are competing for everybody, consumers like us.
Right.
Like we need solar on our house. They're trying to go for us. So the difference is, this client, they're not targeting end user consumers like us. They're targeting contractors. So what we did is we created a campaign on Facebook, because Facebook lets you know what your title is. They let us know where you work. Let me do a quick service announcement about Facebook really quick. All right. Sure. So again, let's pretend it's 1989.
Okay.
And we're marveling at the double truck ad and the yellow pages that we just put in there. Oh, that's so great. And now we're going to go over to you and say, hey, listen, what if in 30 years there's going to be a product that people willingly put their information in? I mean, like, where they like to shop, what cars they love, what sports teams they like, where they work, all that kind of stuff.
And then we're going and from place to place.
Marketers are able to access that information. They willingly put it in, and not just once, like every day.
Right.
You're going to be like, you're smoking. No way.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But that's exactly what Facebook is. And so you utilizing Facebook's platform for the solar subcontractor, we were able to connect them with a ton of solar companies, and they've just blown up.
Really?
They've blown up because of it. And so getting back to the one thing that Leo had said, one of the reasons that marketing is broken in a sense is, yes, the pendulum has swung from traditional advertising to digital, and everybody's like, oh, digital's better, digital's better. In some ways, it could be more cost-effective, but in other ways, it may not be. I have clients that with Google Ads, and again, we've spent a ton of money on right. Google. Google has become cost prohibitive because the cost for a click for a Google ad, you maybe have to get four or five clicks to create a lead, and you need four or five leads to create a sale.
Right.
The next thing you know, you spent $2,000 in clicks, and if you make $2,000 on a client lifetime, it doesn't make sense.
Is that because Google's gotten more expensive over the years?
Well, it has, because with Google Ads, and again, these are the ads that when you're on Google, the little text-based ads that are very specific to your search that appear,
right?
Those are cost per click. And so what happens is it's on an auction-based system. So if I'm willing to bid a dollar for a click and my competitor is $1.25, what it does is it pushes up the cost per click based on what people are willing to bid on it.
See, this whole just that explanation right there makes somebody like me just makes my head spin, because I go, how am I going to bid? I'm so busy trying to be a lawyer and take care of my clients.
Let me bring it back, because my goal in being here, and first of all, thank you for inviting me, is I don't want people to think digital marketing is so advanced and I'm just never going to have a chance. My goal is to make it very attainable. And so here's my point.
Okay.
Is that all of marketing, I don't care what it is, traditional, digital, whatever.
Right.
It boils down to two things: increasing the lifetime value of your customer and decreasing their cost to acquire. That's it.
Huge right there.
That is.
Drop the mic moment right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a definitely drop. Okay. We're going to have to repeat that.
Well, yeah, we're about to go on break soon. And Dave, I mean, you know, being a guest, you have so much knowledge. I'm already going to ask you to come back, by the way. So we want to have you here, you know, perhaps in, you know, next quarter. But the www.netramedia, how do we find you, Dave, if somebody had questions?
Yeah, so you would just go to Netra Media. Netra is N as in Nancy, E-T-T-R-A, Media. .com. Yeah.
All right. So here's what's coming next, guys. We're going to be talking about Dropbox. I want to know about this whole thing about Dropbox because I'm a big fan. I want to know about Airbnb. What was the deal with that? So, we also want to know about this whole thing about lifetime value. You know, how do you quantify that? And the.
How do you know that going in? When you're looking at what the cost is to acquire them, how do you quantify the the lifetime
mm-hmm.
value?
Okay, so so that's that. So here's a guy who spent $19 million of somebody else's money, but it's made money for a lot of people. So you are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. So here in Power Talk, KFIV, AM 1360. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. I'm your host, Leo Landaverde with Greenland Advisors, making you profitable. And I got Claudine here, so it's about sustainability. Hi,
absolutely.
Claudine. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Dave, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
So here you are. All right, so let's get going. We're talking
Dropbox.
Dropbox. Tell us all about it.
Talk to me about
Give
Dropbox.
Give us the juice.
You know, Dropbox is pretty awesome. Raise your hand if you use Dropbox. If you're driving, don't raise your hand.
Right, please.
All right, so most people do.
And if you don't use it, listen to why you perhaps should. It'll make your life easier.
Well, this is a great example of the kinds of things that we help businesses with, because ultimately we focus on helping them scale, whether they're a startup or a more established business. We focus on scale. So Dropbox. About 12 years ago, 13 years ago when they started, they were a fledgling VC venture capital funded company. They had about $3 million. That sounds like a lot of money, but when 95% of it or more is reserved for product development, right, engineering, and hiring people, you have a very minuscule advertising budget. Now, that's okay, except they were up against two companies that you might have heard of, Google and Microsoft.
Right.
Both of them were getting into cloud computing at the same time. And so what Google and Microsoft did is, of course, do Google ads. Of course.
Right, of course. That's what
they
do.
What they did is they bid up the cost per click so high on Google ads that Dropbox couldn't do them. They couldn't do Google ads because, again, if they're paying, let's say, $10 per lead,
right,
and to get a sale, they're paying $100. It eclipsed the amount of money they made lifetime value on a customer.
Right.
Can you imagine selling a product or service where you can't even do Google ads or anything because you're outbid for your own product? That was the situation they found themselves in. So what they did is a survey, and the survey was sent out to all their users, and it was a simple survey, and all it said was, if Dropbox went away today, would you be extremely disappointed, somewhat, indifferent, or happy? And 40% of the respondents said extremely disappointed. And wow. So it told them, we have something here.
Right.
We have a very loyal following.
Definitely proof of concept.
That is what gave birth to now the, you know, the gold standard referral program. And those of you that have had Dropbox for at least 5-6 years will remember, at the time, they're using the Amazon cloud, you know, cloud computing. They're using their servers with all their data. All right. Well, the certain tier they were in, they had a ton of extra space just sitting there. And so they said, hey, what if we start giving away free space for right. people that refer others to us? Yeah, let's try it. So they did it. And what they said is, okay, if you love Dropbox, refer us to one person, we'll double your space. Now, let me put this in perspective. 10 years ago, Dropbox gave you enough space that was about the same size as your desktop computer at the time gave you.
Which was what? Do you remember?
I think it was like something tiny, 500 megabytes.
500 megabytes?
Small.
Okay.
The point was, it's like, holy crap. Like, you're giving me the same size space that on my computer, but like in the cloud, that's pretty cool. That's already a lot of space. But wait, I could double it? And it doesn't cost me anything.
1 gig.
So yeah. Here's what happened. Dropbox did this, and it took off like wildfire. And what happened was the lifetime value of the average customer increased because the average customer was referring like 2.3 people to Dropbox, which was worth more money to them. So after doing this, it allowed Dropbox to do Google ads again because they made more than Google and Microsoft and their lifetime value of a customer.
Right.
Just by giving it away.
Yeah, the referral program.
So, and for those who don't use Dropbox or don't really understand the whole premise of it, what it is essentially is the ability to store and interact with information that's not on your computer. So, for example, what we use it a lot because we'll have multiple people working on the same document.
Right.
So I'll make revisions and edits and whatnot, and then somebody else in my office will log in and take it and make their edits and so forth. Or we can store a whole bunch of stuff that we need to use and look at. We can put it in a file there and everybody can access it.
Yeah.
And it's really, really helpful as well when you have documents that are too big that you're trying to send and you needed to get it, you know, get somebody else to have access to it, and you can't send it through email because it's too big.
Yeah.
We can drop it in the Dropbox and people can access it.
Much of our time that we work with companies is spent on that kind of thing as
right.
far as understanding what their aha moment is, we like to call it.
Right.
The aha moment of Dropbox is, I look on my desktop and I see these folders that I've been dropping my documents into.
Right.
All of a sudden, there's a new folder. It says Dropbox on it. So when I put documents into that, not only is it saved in my computer, but it's also simultaneously saved in the cloud.
Correct.
So if somebody were to burn my house down, you know, heaven forbid, well, that document I put in the Dropbox folder is not going to be harmed.
That's right.
Which is awesome. But see, that is the aha moment of Dropbox. And that's were you going to talk about Airbnb next?
You know, but I one thing I want to establish. Okay, so if you're out there and you have questions, this is your time to call. Call the studio line at 551-3483, 551-3483. We have Dave Martin, founder and CEO of NetraMedia.com, an expert in growth marketing, here discussing really how do you really grow your company if your budget it's not there, and how do you get creative so you increase the lifetime value of your customers. So let's talk about that. I am a numbers guy, and if you know me, I'm going to be figuring out ways how to extract more with less. So to me, is I'm coming from the financing side of things. Is so the formulas that I hear, you know, and it's LTV over CPA, right? How do you determine what the lifetime value of a customer is?
Right.
Right. Yeah, LTV, lifetime value, CPA, cost per acquisition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you determine what a lifetime value is? It depends on the kind of business that you have.
Like, okay.
Let's say if you're a HVAC company, a heating and air company,
mm-hmm.
and your average client is with you for 4 years, and let's say they spend $150 a year on a preventative maintenance package.
Okay.
And let's say you come out, and on average, you're repairing something twice or once a year for $300. So 150 times four,
600,
uh-huh. 600 plus, let's say they do two services during that time at 300 each. So
another 600.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's $1,200. And then you would say, well, if I look at 10 clients, one out of 10 will buy a $10,000 air conditioning unit. So then you could say, well, if it's one out of 10, it's $10,000. I did that for a reason, so that we could say one, we could assign another 1,000 per client, because we, the aggregate, you know, 10,000 divided by 10.
So there's a formula.
So another 1,000 there. So in that situation, what is that, about $2,600?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the lifetime value of a customer for an HVAC company in that example is $2,600. So okay. It lets me know if I'm an HVAC company, you don't want to spend, the rule of thumb is don't spend more than 1/3 of your lifetime value to acquire a customer.
Here's the takeaway.
Okay.
So in that case, you'd spend, what is that, about $850?
Yep.
So you'd spend about, you could spend, hey, I'll spend $850 to acquire a customer. Okay, well, that helps. If I spend $850 a month on Facebook, if I'm producing one customer with that, then boom, I'm making money, or at least I'm well, I guess in that instance, I'm making money, but I don't want to spend more than $850. But the goal is, when you do any kind of marketing, you're going to make more than that, and you need to be able to track those things as well.
So how do you? Because when you set your customers up for success, you know, and if you're helping them, do they work with spreadsheets? How do they? In your experience, do the customers even know how to, like? Do you help them ascertain the lifetime value of their own customers, or do they really know, or do you have to kind of teach them?
We always come to where our customers are.
Okay.
Many people listening right now, this might be like they're eating this up because they do a lot of marketing, things like that. Others might be like, man, this kind of sounds good, but you're losing me on a lot of these things. And so our clients are both of those sides of the spectrum. So we'll provide and work with you on all these things, or if you already have a marketing team, we help you and empower you with the numbers and helping you to track them. But the point is, you have to track it.
Right.
It's all about experimentation and tracking. Otherwise, you're just throwing money out the window. How do you know it's working or not?
It's clearly marketing has moved off of art and, you know.
It's a science.
And yeah, it is clearly, and I think that's probably the key, or at least a key, of why many people in business now just feel kind of overwhelmed. It, you know, back with your example of being in 1989, we were looking at proofs and is the message clear and is the artwork nice and, you know, what kind of feel does it give you when you see it? And this has really, really changed.
So helpful to know if you have potential $10,000 of lifetime value, you know that you don't want to spend more than a third of that. So... All right, guys. So if you're listening, you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine.
Give
we're
us a
talking
call.
About growth marketing. Call the studio. We want to hear your questions. We're about to go into break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Leo here and Claudine. Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk, AM 1360. We're talking about marketing. And man, I couldn't stop before the last segment. There was just so much going on.
I know.
Dave, you made a comment when we were off right now, and I want you to just talk about that and the other side of, you know, what you were saying about marketing.
Yeah, I want to make sure people listening, they might feel like, holy, marketing has become like a domain for the nerds, right? Like
or just
domain
a lot
for
of
people
energy.
that love numbers. And yes, that's part of it. But the art you were talking about before, Claudine, that also is alive and well, because I could do marketing is only half of it. I could target the most high level, high quality potential clients right. and push them to your website. But after that, well, what do they see on the website? Is there a video of you talking? Are you positioning your product or service in a very convincing way? The art of that is alive and well. People make decisions emotionally, and then they justify them rationally.
Good to know.
Yes.
Good to
and
know.
That,
okay.
That we're human
so
is human,
the
and that
not
doesn't
dead.
No, it doesn't change. But what we do is we try to target the right people. But then the other side is the messaging. And that, just like you tweak the ads to make them perform better,
right.
The same thing is with the messaging and what people see. And we see a lot of people using video. We do that a lot with our clients. And that really helps to convey value more than just reading words. And
right.
So that's, we're seeing a lot of that in a lot of our campaigns is more use of video.
So when you work with clients, you come in and you help them assess their goals, first mm-hmm. of all, and their lifetime value mm-hmm. and the cost of getting it. Yeah. And then what do you do? Is the relationship with you and a client is an ongoing, a monthly? Do we meet, you know, once a quarter? How does this all work? Because this is a completely new world.
Yeah. And it really depends. It depends on what somebody needs. But typically, yes, we'll first sit down, determine their goals, but then we'll also look at their data first and foremost and say, okay, what is your lifetime value of your customer? And most business owners listening to me right now are probably mm-hmm. going to go, shoot, if Dave asked me that, I don't even know.
Well, it's like when, I think, what was the question you asked me when we first met? And we've talked about this in other shows about people's books. You know, let me see your books. And people go, okay, here's my tax return.
Right.
But that's not really what you're looking for.
No, you mean the whole thing about how your business is doing, bank balance, accounting
yeah.
was, you know, my business is worth what I have in the bank, and they're not really on top of their financials. Yeah.
You're looking at the wrong thing.
You're looking at, you miss the whole point. And I think that's, there is a way to go about each area. There's a way to go about marketing, just like there's a way to go about accounting,
mm-hmm.
and there's a way. But I think for someone like you, Claudine, who has a high level professional service,
right?
One of the things that I think when we first met is like, wow, what is the potential when you're talking to somebody, right? What is it worth to a client that you saved them $1 million in a potential loss that they never happened? Because, you know, what is it worth to a client?
Right.
It's in some ways unquantifiable,
right? The bullet that we dodged.
The bullet that you didn't even know you dodged that you knew, but they didn't.
Right.
Might be worth more than even the $1 million settlement.
It may be worth that. You know, you
definitely save, in my world.
You save people's businesses, you
yep.
know, and while there's no point of me helping somebody make $1 million in net profit in 1 year, if the very next year they get sued and they lost $1 million in a settlement.
Right.
So, but to Dave's point is I really like, it's kind of like the yin and yang. I get fascinated and fixated on the numbers, but and I can't afford, and I have to look at the whole thing. And you know, perception, this whole thing about perception, is it true that perception steals everything, Dave?
Well, sure. In a sense, it's a preframe. And I like to give this example. MIT did a study where they had the first group of students go into a really big classroom, you know, the kind with like stadium seating.
Yeah.
And before they went in, they told these students, all very bright students, that the teacher you're about to see, he's almost going to be kicked out of this school. He's on probation. He's really hasn't been doing very well.
Mm.
He's just not really good. He's gotten a lot of bad reviews, but, you know, good luck. So they listened to him talk, and then at the end, they interviewed him. They interviewed all the students saying, okay, so what are your thoughts on the teacher? And largely, it was what they told them, they pre-framed them with of, yeah, he's really bad, all that kind of stuff. The next group of students, they said, you're about to sit at a teacher that was runner-up for the Nobel Prize. He rarely ever speaks, but when he's here, everybody loves him. And then at the end of that, they interviewed those students, and those students had the opposite thing to say, like, oh my gosh, he was amazing, like, like life-changing.
Right.
And so it is often the pre-frame of, you know, what is said about a product before people actually experience it that changes somebody's mind about, well, should I call this company or should I call for the service or product or not? It's really the pre-frame of what they're
saying. So in your world, where does that start? Does it start with the website? Does it start with the a digital PDF? Where does it start? Does it start with the logo and the branding? Or what?
For every company, it's different. What we try to uncover is, what is the cheapest, most cost-effective way for somebody to understand what my company's, or I should say my client's company's, aha moment is?
Huh.
Like for Airbnb, what is their aha moment?
It's, well, tell us about Airbnb since you brought that up.
Yeah, so for Airbnb, their aha moment is, wait a second, I don't have to spend $200 or $150 a night in a hotel where seven people have slept in this bed in the last 7 days. I could spend the same amount of money and be in a condo or a smaller home and have a living room and a kitchen. Like, wait a second, it's the same price? That's crazy. Like, that's Airbnb's aha moment, right? And so the idea is, how do we get potential customers to experience your company's aha moment most cost effectively? So when it comes to Airbnb, their little growth hack, similar to Dropbox, was they were about to go out of business. And it's hard to imagine. I think their valuation is in the billions.
Is in the billions now.
Right now.
Wow. In the billions. Wow.
How's that for a company that's maybe like 8-9 years old? Not too shabby.
And very little overhead.
Right.
Because they're not maintaining their properties.
Right. Right. Exactly. Other people own them, right? So what they did, though, they were about to go out of business. They were eating, like, I think famously, they were eating Wheaties for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was bad.
Maxed out. The founders have maxed out their credit cards. They had no money.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and I relate.
I can see the look on your face.
You're making me a little nervous here. I mean, the thought of it's making me nervous.
Yeah, but that's where they were.
Yeah, and you know, and I relate to that when I was in college. A lot of people listening can relate to what feels like. Oh, and I think it's hard to look at a successful company and picture they were there, but they were there. So they had a developer, and I'm sure everybody listening has heard of Craigslist.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what Airbnb, one of their developers, figured out is, when Airbnb puts a listing on their website, they created a line of code that automatically populated Craigslist with the same listing.
Oh my goodness.
What? Every time.
What do you mean? Like,
So in other words,
enter it once.
Yeah.
It
so
twice.
When you go into Airbnb and enter your apartment or condo or house you're trying to rent.
Oh, so you're the owner, right?
Yes. Okay. So if you're a property owner, Airbnb, you put in your property. It also appears on Craigslist as well. Now, it took Craigslist some time to actually see what was going on and to update their codes to no longer allow that to happen. But just that alone was enough for them to change the fortunes of their company. Their user base went up by 1,000%, and it didn't cost them anything.
Really?
Yeah. And another example with Airbnb is, as they scaled, for some reason in New York City, they had a ton of potential properties to rent, but not a lot of people were renting them. And somebody said, well, hey, we should do more Google ads. Let's just pay more Google ads. Right. We could do it.
But, throw money at it.
Yeah, but instead of throwing money at it, what they did is they started looking at all the listings, and the pictures for a lot of these places to rent were kind of pixely. This was about 7 years ago, so what was that, like iPhone 3?
Right.
And the cameras were really pixely.
Grainy.
So grainy pictures. So they thought, look, instead of throwing money through Google Ads, let's throw money by hiring a commercial photographer for a couple days to go to some of the top properties in New York City and take good quality pictures.
Right.
And lo and behold, they did that, and the renting just skyrocketed. And it just let them see, like, oh, well, we should probably offer a service for a small fee where we would use a local photographer to take good pictures, because that means they're going to get rented.
So, there's so much to unpack right now, and we're basically wrapping up the show. So if you're listening to this show right now, you have been listening to marketing and how to do it right with expert growth marketer Dave Martin from netramedia.com. Dave, just give us distill some wisdom as a parting shot. What can the average business owner, this whole thing about the aha moment, I want to know more about it, but we're just running out of time. So what does it mean? Like, what could you tell the average business owner if they don't know their aha? How do you go about figuring that out?
I think most businesses know what their aha moment is as far as what makes their product unique. It's just a matter of how do you target the right people to reach them. And I would resist using social media or Google just because it sounds cool. Just because I probably should be on Facebook. No, you're not in business to be on Google or Facebook. You're in business to make a profit. So it's uncovering the easiest ways to do that.
You don't figure your proof of concept in social media. You validate it once you figured it out, right?
Right.
Yeah, the scientific approach.
Well, you validate something. It's amazing. So the thing that I hear is you have to make sure that you have a profitable business model, mm-hmm. right? And figuring that out, and that's the thing that do you help? Yes, we think that if you're in the plumbing business, you know what's going on, right? You fix the plumbing in a house, but it's not easily discernible in a lot of businesses.
I find a lot of businesses, they focus on what they're good at. They may not even think there might be another service they have. They just threw it up on their website. It might be the most profitable service they offer, but for some reason, they're not really going after it. And that's sometimes some of the things that we'll do is uncover those things and to try to push those high value clients to them. And it just changes their fortunes. It changes their trajectory simply by looking at things objectively. It's hard for business owners to do that. As the old saying goes, you're too close to the forest to see the trees.
Right.
A lot of business owners, including myself, I could be that way about my business as well. And sometimes it takes somebody like myself to hop in and say, Have you thought about this?
Right.
And that's a good place to start. And from where it goes from there, it's different for every customer. But the good news is, if I could leave anything, is that in many ways, yes, marketing is broken. I say it's broken because of how it was done before. The new way of marketing, how we always research things before we buy and all those kinds of things, it's very set in stone on how to do these things. And these are the things that we help people with all the time. It is. And it's not nearly as hard as it might sound.
Right.
Whether you hire a company to do it or you kind of take baby steps on how to do it yourself, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's just a little different than it used to be.
Got it. I'm excited.
I don't know about you, Claudia.
Can we book an appointment? Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. I mean, Dave, thank you. We're wrapping up the show. Dave, thank you so much for your knowledge, your passion about what you do. I knew you were going to be a great guest, and you are hereby inviting you to come back. I'm sure our audience is going to love you. I mean, we already love you. So remember, so you got to figure out that aha moment for yourself and for your business, and then only take it to the, start investing money once you figure out that you have an aha moment, right? And so next, there'll be more topics coming up in the next few weeks we're working actively on. So thank you everybody for listening, and you have been listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk. Say goodbye, Claudine.
Goodbye.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you, Dave, and have a great weekend, everybody.